ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Today we will see the summary of chapter 15, Purushottama Yoga, the Yoga of Supreme Being. Now this chapter is almost like Upanishad. Now we have been studying after every chapter, in the end we say Upanishad Sar is the Bhagavad Gita. You know? Thus it is said in this Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of Upanishad. And the invocation to Bhagavad Gita, Madhusudana Saraswati compares Upanishads to the cows and Bhagavad Gita to the milk taken from the cow. So the essence of the Upanishads, what the Bhagavad Gita is, and also especially this particular chapter 15, Purushottama Yoga, the Yoga of Supreme Being. It's a very, very small chapter with just 20 verses. Another chapter which has only 20 verses is chapter 12, Bhakti Yoga. Now this chapter 15 is known for many people because they chant this entire chapter before lunch, before meal. But that's not the only significance. This chapter, like I said, is the essence of Upanishads. Now in Katho Upanishad, he gives the example of Ashwatha tree. That example is given in this chapter, the very first verse. And also, there's a reference to Pippalam, which is again Ashwatha tree in Mundaka Upanishad, where the two birds are seated on a tree called Pippalam, which is the Ashwatha tree. So the reference comes from the Upanishad. So hence we say that Bhagavad Gita is the essence of Upanishad. Only thing is, it is given to Arjuna, who is a man of action. So it is more relatable to people like us. Otherwise, Upanishad is more for people who have become extremely evolved and contemplative in nature, and they are only interested in moksha. We are not just interested in moksha, we are also interested in the world. And this chapter is more towards moksha. So that's why we say it's almost like Upanishad. So this chapter has only 20 verses, which is summarized by Swamiji in four topics. The first topic, from verses 1 to 6, Brahman is macrocosm. Then next topic, from 7 to 11, Brahman is microcosm. Brahman is what has come down as this entire universe and the individual. This is the declaration in the Upanishads. Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya Jivo Brahmaiva Napara. This Jagat is Nitya. Brahman in name and form is Jagat. When you remove the name and form, what remains is Brahma. That is the declaration in the invocation of Isavasya Upanishad, which we chant at the end of the class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Avashishyate. So that is infinite. Purna, complete, whole, infinite. This is Purna, infinite, complete. From that, this has come. Purnat Purnamudachyate. From that, this has come. From that Brahman, this universe has come. This individuality has come. From that Brahman, which is beyond name and form, this jagat, which is name and form, has come. Purnasya purnamadhaya purnam eva avashishyate. When you remove this purnam from that, what remains is purnam. Infinite minus infinite is infinite. What he is saying is, when this jagat, which is infinite, the name and form, which is beginningless, is removed from that Brahman, meaning through knowledge, knowing that this name and form is essentially Brahman, you remove the name and form, what remains thereafter is Brahman. So, when you remove Purnam from Purnam, what remains is Purnam. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So, this world is nothing but Brahman. Brahman is the macrocosm, the total. And Brahman is the microcosm, the individual. Verse 1 to 6 and 7 to 11. In other words, this entire samsara, the samsaric world has evolved from that Brahman. Once you understand this, you become released from this samsara. If not, you will be caught and continue to remain in this samsara. Why should we understand this truth that this world is nothing but Brahman? Once we understand that, then we will not be trapped in it anymore. And all our efforts are only in that direction to become free and happy. And that can only happen when we gain this knowledge. Till then, it will never happen. So therefore, this is what is discussed in the Upanishads, in the Bhagavad Gita, everywhere. Brahman is macrocosm, Brahman is microcosm. The entire Shara, perishable world, has evolved from Brahman. Verse 1 to 6, 7 to 11. Then the third topic. The essence that pervades this perishable world is Brahman. Akshara. Brahman is the essence in both. The imperishable. Akshara in both the macrocosm and the microcosm. The sat and chit, the imperishable aspect, is Brahman. From verse 12 to 15. So first he says that Kshara is Brahman. Then he says Akshara is Brahman. Then he says, sorry. He keeps on saying that sorry. And then finally he says, Brahman is neither Kshara nor Akshara. It is Uttama Purusha. Uttama Purusha Swanyaha. Brahman is Uttama Purusha, Supreme Being, beyond Kshara and Akshara. The way the knowledge needs to be given, the fundamental principle of education is to move from the known to the unknown. And the interesting thing about Brahman is, it is beyond known and the unknown. You can find a new word which is unknowable if you want to. Now, this unknowable is also not correct. Because if it's unknowable, then you close the book and say, okay, chalo, yaar, chhod do. Anyway, it's not possible to know what is the point in attending these classes. Let us go and play tambola. So, the thing is, when I say unknowable, it's not in that sense. It is not an object of comprehension. It is a subjective apprehension. It cannot be known objectively. It is the very knower, it is the very subject. Therefore, it cannot be known objective. So, Brahman is beyond the known, beyond the unknown. You can use the word unknowable, but when we use the word unknowable, what we mean is it is not possible to be known by the intellect, but it is your very nature, the essential self, Therefore, you cannot know it objectively, you know it subjectively. So this is the four topics of this chapter. Chara, Akshara, Uttama Purusha. So first words, in fact, the first three verses, not the entire third verse, but half of the third verse of the first two verses, he talks about how the universe comes down from Brahman. Urdhva Moolam Adashakam Ashvattam Prahur Avyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Vistam Vedata Vedavita. Urdhva Moolam. Urdhva means upad. Ada means below. Urdhva Moolam. Moolam, the essence, the source, is above. And Shakam, the branches below. He compares this entire samsaric universe to this Ashwatha tree. And the tree which is almost endless and continues beginningless. So he compares that to Brahman. Sorry, the samsara. From Brahman, this entire universe has come here. They speak of imperishable Ashwatha, giant fig tree, with the root above. Urdhva Moolam, the root, the cause, the source is above. And Adashakam, the branches below, whose leaves are hymns of Vedas, Chandamsi, Yasya Parnani, Yastam Vedasa Vedarita. This is a Vedavit. Vedavit means one who knows the Vedas, the essence of Vedas. So, the Brahman, existence of Brahman leaves the potential of not understanding Brahman as Brahman. And that potential of not understanding Brahman as Brahman is called non-apprehension, which further manifests as misapprehended world. So Brahman plus non-apprehension plus the world. Three things we are talking about. There is only Brahman. Nothing else. Brahman alone exists. Not understanding Brahman as Brahman exists as potential in Brahman. And then Brahman manifests through that potential, the manifested world emerges. And in the manifested world, there is both the living and non-living beings. And jivas experience this world and they are caught in this samsaric world. So in the Mundaka Upanishad, it says in the tree of Pippalam, there are two birds. One bird is compared to the Jivatma, to the other to the Paramatma. So, the Jivatma is getting involved in the world and enjoys the fruit that the world gives. And what is the fruit that the world gives? The path and punya, the pleasure and pain, joy and sorrow, honor, dishonor, the pairs of opposites. So, Jivatma is caught in the samsara while Paramatma is looking objectively as a witness. One bird is eating the fruits of the tree, other bird doesn't eat, just remains objective. Because the other bird is Vedanta class member. The other bird which is getting involved is not attending the classes and not studying daily. So what does it do? It gets involved in the worldly activities and goes through the pap and punya. So the Vedas have also evolved from that Brahman. Meditate states, go got connected to the source, and the source revealed the knowledge to them. Hence, Vedas are called apaurusham. It's not something that is created by the human effort. When the human being dissolved his ego, his or her ego, the source got connected and the source revealed it through them. That is called Vedas. So these Vedas are actually come from Brahman. The Shastras have come from Brahman. And in Shastras, it's very clearly explained that how from Brahman Ishvara comes, and from Ishvara Hiranyagarbha comes, and from Hiranyagarbha Virat Purusha comes. Brahman, without Maya Shakti, and then Brahman with Maya Shakti. Brahman plus Maya Shakti is equal to Ishvara. Maya Shakti, you can in the context call as the non-apprehension we talked about. So Brahman plus Maya Shakti is Ishvara. And from within Brahman, the subtle world comes first, which is Hiranyagarbha. And from the gross world emerges, which is called Virat Purusha. So this is how the krama is. Krama means the steps. So, and once the world has come, what is that? It is nothing but nama rupa, names and forms. And we who are ignorant of this truth, that it is essentially Brahman, what do? We get involved. So when we get involved, we are propelled by our gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, and we get involved. And accordingly, we gain the fruit. So he says, if you see the Ashwatha tree, the primary root is inside the earth, and there are roots coming from the branches, which also goes and clings to the earth and holds the tree. Isn't it? So the primary root is the Brahman. The secondary roots are the vasanas. So what happens is, from the Brahman, due to ignorance, this universe has come. And then when we propel our activities by the sattvic, rajasic and tamasic gunas, we roots the vasanas. And once we create these vasanas cling us to this earth, and this punarapi jananam and punarapi maranam continues. So he says its branches spread below and above. Above sattvic guna, below rajasic and tamasic guna. Tamasic makes us spiritually devoid. Rajasic makes us spiritually stagnate. Sattvic makes us spiritually evolve. So he says its branches are spread below and above, nourished by the gunas. So each one acts according to their gunas, either revolving or stagnating or devolving. That is what he says in this samsaric cycle. And they are constantly chasing the sense objects, and these activities bind the human beings to this world. Each one is caught in this samsaric world because they don't know this truth. They don't know this knowledge. And hence they get. So, he says its form is not perceived here, neither its origin, nor the end, nor the clear foundation. See, the Brahman is in it, and the vasanas are also infinite. The samsara is also infinite, beginning. When we say samsara is the relative point of view, it ends only when you realize the self. When we talk about Brahman, the qualities of Brahman is what? It is infinite with no beginning, no end. Something which is beginning, no end means all pervading. It is not born at a particular time. It is eternal. It doesn't die, it always exists. It cannot be caused by something. So it is beyond time, space and causation. It is beginningless, all pervading, eternalless. And when you analyze the world is made up of time, space, causation. Time is eternal, space is all pervading, causation is endless. You take anything in this world, it comes under these three. A table is made at a particular time, exists for a particular time, and ends at a particular time. It occupies X amount of space. It is caused from the tree, wood. Right? So time, space, causation is the world, which is eternal. Time is, space is all pervading. Causation is endless. This time, space, causation, which is very equally qualities of mirror wood. So the qualities of Brahman that has mirrored itself in the world, therefore this world is nothing but Brahman. But we don't see it like that. We get caught in the name and form. The names and forms. And when one is caught in the names and forms, one continues in the samsara. So we need to not get caught in the names and forms. Now what to do? If you should not get caught in the names and forms, what you should do is, you should do minimum two things, which is, the first thing is, stop running. Let the other people run. You stop running. And what? Question. And take the support of scriptures. So he says, the third verse, you got to cut this tree from its roots. Asanga Shatrena Bredena Chitva. Asanga and Shatra. So the intellect needs to be sharpened with the study of the scripture, Shatra. And with that you got to cut this samsaric tree by following Asanga. Asanga Shatrena Dhridena Chitva. There's no acts of non-attachment. Vairagya. You got to have these qualities. Vairagya and daily study of the scripture. But that you question. Only when you question do you see the truth which is beyond. Otherwise, you will continue. Without questioning, it looks like there is light coming from the moon. But when you question, you understand that there is no light coming from the moon. So similarly, when we question, it looks like we will get the pleasure from going after the world. But what we don't understand is, we not only get pleasure, we get both pleasure and pain. See, the only way you can attain freedom from pain. Now this corona thing, everybody wants to get rid of this pain. We really don't wake up. Corona, I don't think so, has woken us up. What it has done is, it has disturbed our sleep. We can't say that we have woken up. But there is a potential to wake up. You know. Now, whether we really wake up or not, I don't know. Very few people would have woken up. Rest are just waiting for medicine so that the sleep need not be disturbed. Either you find the medicine or vaccine, that's it. Then again we can start running. So the moment you question this, you understand that pleasure and pain are inseparable. When pleasure comes, behind pleasure there is pain. It's a cyclic order. Everything is a cyclic order. 100 years ago we had Spanish flu. And then something. Now we have Corona. Everything keeps going, coming. The cyclic order. So in the cyclic order, if pleasure is in the front, what does it mean? Pain is at the back. If pain is at the front, then pleasure is at the back. They cannot be separated. So you have a choice. If you want to become free from pain, you have to become free from pleasure also. You have to either accept both pleasure and pain, or you have to become free from both. But the problem is what? Ek hi chahiye. Huh? Want only one. That is not possible. That is only possible when you go to Brahman. In the world, you will have both pleasure and pain. But our mind wants only pleasure. So now, when pleasure is there, do you really enjoy and be happy? That is the problem in samsara. What is it? When pain comes, you resist it, you suffer. And when pleasure comes, do you enjoy it? You say yes, but actually no. Why? Because you know it is going to pass away. So what is the point? What is going on in your mind? You are going on cribbing and saying, I hope it doesn't go, I hope it doesn't go. Isn't it? So when pleasure comes, you are mentally tied to pain. Oh God, don't take this away, let it last long. Huh? So then you don't really enjoy the pleasure also. So only a person who's up to both pleasure and pain experiences the world fully, enjoys the world fully. So the moment you rest it and you are sometimes through pleasure, therefore got to and sin. When you withdraw, you understand reality. So trena bredena chitva. If you have sangha, attachment with the world, then what will happen? You will continue thoughts of the world. So withdraw. So every Thursday from 11 to 12:15, we withdraw. And do what? Not do something else in the world. Study the scripture and objectively question the experiences of the world. When I am drawing pleasure from the world, is the pleasure coming from the world or where is it coming from? My mind is calm and composed. In that mind which is calm and composed, the thought of a chocolate surfaces. Godaiva. It is surfacing. Once that thought comes, what has happened? The desire comes, agitation starts. So in a placid pool of water, somebody has thrown a stone. And once the stone is thrown, ripples start. Isn't it? So now is going. And then agitation is there. Then I go get the chocolate from the fridge, eat it. Then shanti. So I think Godeva has brought the pleasure. Now if you question, did Godeva actually bring the pleasure? There are dark chocolates, no? Some people don't like dark chocolates. You give them dark chocolate. They want a chocolate, give them dark chocolate. Instead of pleasure, they'll get pain. If the pleasure was in the chocolate, it should give pleasure to everyone who contacts it. If the pleasure was in the chocolate, it should give you the same amount of pleasure every time you contact it. But that is not what is happening. You ate the first godaiva, then after some time, another 10 minutes later, you eat one more. Is it the same quantum of joy you get? No. The pleasure is reduced. Third and fourth reduces further. Nth contact, no pleasure. But when you are denied this pleasure, it's called neutralization. So if the pleasure was in the object, if the pleasure was in the object, you will get every time you contact the same quantity, number one. Number two, everyone who contacts it should get it. But if you do not have that desire, don't get it. So what do you understand from this when you inquire? The object or the desire for the object brought the agitation in the mind. Okay? Created the ripples in the mind. And the object removes the ripples, then you come in contact with the peace and joy which was already there. So the object did not bring peace. The object removed the agitation created by the desire for the object. Got it? So the object did not bring in pleasure. The object only removed the desire for that object which created agitation. And once that desire is temporarily removed, you come in contact with the joy which is always there, which is coming from within. Are you getting it? But it stays temporary. Why? By the time you say shanti, another desire for another godaiva or mango or something comes. So that joy is short-lived. But you become deluded in this and you think godaiva brought the joy. Mango brought the joy. This brought the joy, that brought the joy, and you continue running, and mind keeps running, you keep thinking about it, and you continue forming vasanas, and these vasanas firmly tie you into this world. So, if you want moksha, you got to pull back and question. So, if you have been saying, no, time nahi. I want to come to the class, I have no time. You know, I heard Mamta Mahuji saying, I'm not anyway part of this class. Because of Corona, I've come to this class. Probably Mahuji is also saying the same thing. Few others also. So now, Corona has told you, better attend the class. In other words, wake up, not just have a disturbed sleep. The waking up is what? Just pulling back and questioning. When you pull back and question, then you will see, you clearly understand, actually, my mind has been tricking me to believe that there is joy in the world. And hence my mind runs up, right? And I get trapped. This is the problem. So for that, you need to pull back. So if you have been complaining, time nahi, Corona said, okay, I'm giving you time. So now, if you have the time, you sit and question. So that is what he's saying. Asanga shastrena dridena chitva. And when you do that, You need support to do that. So he says, keep good company, people with good values. Those values are also talked about. And develop that mind which accepts anything that is given to you rather than craving for it. Having developed all these qualities, you have to sit down and question. In fact, one of the qualities which is extremely emphasized, if you want to know the truth, is titiksha. Verse number 14, chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, if you don't read, he'll say, Matras Pashastu Kaunteya Chitoshna Sukadukkadaha Agama Payinaha Anityaha Tam Titiksha Swabharata. Bharat Bha Rati. Bha means what? Intelligence, knowledge. Rati means reveling. Bharat means reveling in the consciousness, intelligence, knowledge. And that knowledge of the self is what this country values, nothing else. Because that alone gives you redemption, nothing else. Everything else will be taken away. See, now recently we have seen some kind of problem escalated between India and China. Now they're saying they are de-escalating it. For the good of entire humanity, we can say that. But so many prime ministers of India have come before, and the leaders of China, they have had discussions before. We have had battles also. What? What is the problem? This land is mine, this land is mine. Okay? So those leaders who represented each country, they had discussions in the past saying what? This land is mine, or ours. Land said to them, you both belong to me, come into me. They went inside. Then another new leader came, they said, this land is mine, this land is mine. Land said, you both belong to me, come into me. The new leaders came, this story continues. So, whatever. Now, at the practical level, obviously we need to deal with it. Supposing you ask me, okay, what happens if you are there in that position? Will you go negotiate? Of course you will. This is Vyavaharika Satyam. We are studying in Vedanta, please understand. Vyavaharika Satyam and Paramarthika Satyam. Right? Absolute and real. Practical. Absolute is Paramarthika Satyam. And relative is Vyavaharika Satyam. So we understand that, and of course we will do. But at the same time, this Paramarthika Satyam, when it is understood by both, then there is no way of escalation possible. You understand? So, he says, the only solution is to reach that goal. So, practicing detachment and gaining these values, keeping satsang, you question this samsaric world. As you question the samsaric world, you will understand that this samsaric world actually has no substance without the substratum supporting it. That is the whole thing. What seems to be independently substantial, you understand that it has no substance without the support of the substratum, the satyam. That if you understand, then the moha for the world goes. This is the whole thing that he's saying here. Unless and until that moha goes, you are not going to evolve. So that to happen, you need to do this exercise. Nirmana moha jita sangha doshaha. Freed from pride and delusion. When will this delusion and pride and all this go? When you question, otherwise it will not go. Otherwise the delusion will continue. What is the delusion? You think the joy is coming from outside world and you continue. While the joy is actually coming from inside. And what is the other delusion we have discussed in the 7th chapter I pointed out to you? The expansion of that is the 10th and 11th chapter. very, very important. What is that? This world is pervaded by me in the unmanifest form. And then he says what? World is in me. I am not in them. Then he says, even the world is not in me. Remember this clearly. He said, this world is pervaded by me in the unmanifest form. Therefore, this world is dependent on me. The world is in me. I am not in them. I am not dependent on it. I am the Satya. The world is Nitya. Then he said, when it is Nitya, actually doesn't exist. You will know this truth when you get established in Satya. Therefore, he said, even the world doesn't exist in me. So, therefore, he says, you will become freed from delusion. But to seek that goal, tat padam, that goal has to be sought. When will you seek that goal? When you are done with this world. When you understand that this world has no substance, no essence. There is no pitta substance in this world. Then why would I have to run after this? I will not run after this. I will just understand that for transactional purposes, this world is required. So to that extent, I will manage. And then my only goal will be what? To seek that Brahman. Then moksha becomes the goal. Till then, moksha will not be the goal. Because I understand, therefore, I am actually looking for freedom. Freedom is possible only if I remove this delusion. As long as the delusory idea is there, there is no freedom. Because I'll run after the world. And when I run after the world, there will be pleasure and pain. And I keep running after the world trying to get rid of the pain. It's not possible. Not possible. Thus, he says, you through practice of Vairagya and Viveka, you get rid of this samsaric world and seek that goal, break the delusion, the pairs of opposites, and realize the self. And when you realize the self, you will understand that this Brahman is what is lending sentiency to all the so-called sentient beings in the world. The sun, the moon, the fire, everything gets its sentiency from where? From me, he says. The sun illumines not, nor moon, nor fire, whether having gone, they return not. That is my supreme abode. So once you reach the Brahman thereafter, there is no coming back into this world. So therefore, he says, the same Atma which has become the macrocosm, Brahman becoming macrocosm, same thing is happening. Atma, enlivened through the body, mind, intellect, becomes the microcosm, and sitting inside, it goes through various experiences, and like wind carries the scent from one body to another, the vasanas are carried, and sitting in the body, as it were, through the combination experiences, the experiences of this world. The people who are deluded do not see this. Those who are not deluded with eye of wisdom, they see this clearly. So the yogis who strive perceive this dwelling in the self. The unrefined, unintelligent, even those striving, do not see this. In other words, if you have not achieved refinement, chitta shuddhi, you won't see this. If you have achieved chitta shuddhi, then you see this. So unrefined, keep asking, where is Brahman? Where is Brahman? Where is Brahman? Where is God? Is God is there? God is there. God is there everywhere. But to see, you need to have attained refinement. If you have not attained refinement, you cannot see. So that comes with questioning, with practicing certain values, sticking to the good people. Thus, if you continue, you will be able to see it. And then, this will be topic one, topic two. Brahman is macrocosm, Brahman is microcosm. Then he goes to Brahman is the essence in both Akshara, imperishable, 12 to 15. There, the light residing in sun, which illumines the whole world, which is in the moon and in fire, know that light to be mine. See, all that he's saying in this portion is, I am the one which is pervaded in this world. If you go to the essence, you will see it. Because per se, they are matter. There is no life in it. But what lends sentiency in them is me. So the Akshara Tattvam, we have explained this in a different context. There is tree. You cut the tree and you say, first you say tree is, then you say branches. Then you say log is, then you say table is, then you say ashes. Isn't it? You cut the tree, then you say log is. You make a table out of the log, you say table is. Then you burn the table, ashes. The isness continues. That isness is me. The essence, that is imperishable. The name and form, the form which is given the name tree is perishable. The form which is given the name log is perishable. The form which is given the name table is perishable. The form which is given ash name is also perishable. But the isness is imperishable. That imperishable is me. Aksharata. This entire universe is what from the individual, intelligent individual point of view, you use the word jiva. And the world which doesn't reflect the Chaitanya Swarupam, you call it a jagat. Right? Jagat and jiva, that is this entire world. Jagat exists and jiva is conscious. Now what is this? These are the qualities of Brahman. Existence and consciousness. Sat and Chit. The Sat aspect is expressed in the Jagat. The Chit aspect is expressed in the Jiva. To explain this, there is an example that is given in the Shastra, which is, with the fire you heat the water and metal. Iron rod is heated using fire. The iron rod will reflect both the qualities of fire, which is light and heat. When you heat the crowbar, iron rod, it will become fire and it will illumine light. At the same time, it will be reflecting the heat. But when you use the same fire to heat water, the water will not reflect the light aspect, but it will only reflect the heat aspect. So similarly, that Brahman which is both existence and consciousness expresses as existence alone in the Jagat and expresses as Chaitanya in the individual. So when you therefore scrutinize, you understand Brahman is Akshara available in both. Now, is this Brahman always have to be understood only with reference to the world? You can say world is nothing but Brahman. But Brahman remains without world. You go to sleep. When you are in deep sleep, does the world exist for you? When you are in deep sleep, the world doesn't exist for you. So world doesn't exist when in deep sleep, when the mind is not there. So when in the deep sleep, when the mind is not there, the world doesn't exist. But in deep sleep also, the consciousness exists. But you are not conscious. Why in deep sleep, even though the consciousness exists, you are not conscious? Anybody? Anybody wants to answer this question? In deep sleep, there is consciousness, but you are not conscious. Why?
You don't identify with the body.
Okay.
Because body and mind एंड बीएमआई का लय हो गया है. इट इज इन सुषुप्ति, इट इज इन द डोर्मेंट स्टेट.
या मेनली द माइंड इज नॉट देयर, द रिफ्लेक्टिंग मीडियम इज नॉट देयर. When the reflecting medium is not there, the consciousness is not reflective. See, there is this pure consciousness which gets reflected through the mind, which is a reflected consciousness or conditioned consciousness. So we use the word PC and CC. PC means pure consciousness. CC means conditioned consciousness. Some people use the word OC and RC. OC means original consciousness and reflected consciousness, whichever way you want to understand. The consciousness gets reflected by the mind, through the mind. When the mind thought comes, you become conscious. So the problem, here is the problem. The Western science tells us that consciousness is an aspect of the mind. Vedanta, the Eastern science, tells us that no, matter is an aspect of the consciousness. So, that is the thing. What it's saying is, consciousness is there, but the medium is not there, therefore it's not reflected. But the moment medium comes, when you come to dream or waking state, it gets reflected. So, you are thinking that the consciousness is not there. No, consciousness is very much there. So, Brahman should not be only understood with reference to Shara and Akshara. Brahman remains beyond it also. That's the next topic. Brahman beyond Kshara and Akshara, it is Uttama Purusha Spanya. Brahman is beyond the Kshara and Akshara. See, when a person is in the world, Brahman is explained from the world point of view. But Brahman remains in its pristine glory without even world coming into it. Are you getting it? So it's beyond this. For example, the example that Swamiji gives in the book, same example we can use. A boy who is from birth handicapped, he cannot move. He is in the 50th floor of a building. He hasn't seen mud. He is asking, what is mud? So you show him the pot which is there in your balcony and say, this is mud. The boy then understands that he formed a name as mud. Isn't it? So then you say, no, this form and name is not mud. You crush it. When you crush it, it becomes powder. This powder, this is mud. Then he understands the mud with reference to the pot. To him you say, no, mud is beyond this. In fact, this very building is built from the mud. So, mud pervades beyond this pot. So, the matter, energy and consciousness, you can say. Matter is Kshara, energy is Akshara. From the unmanifest energy, the matter comes and matter again becomes unmanifest energy. This keeps on going. That's what law of conservation of energy states. This energy can neither be created nor be destroyed. It can be transformed from one form to another. So, matter and energy, energy and matter. But the consciousness is beyond this. The energy comes from consciousness, from energy comes the matter. And you got to cross over the matter and energy and reach the consciousness, which is Uttama Purusha Swamyaha. This which is beyond this. Are you getting it? So, Brahman, for our level, they come down and explain from the Kshara. First, they say, what all you are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, this known, which has been given the name, is Brahman. Then they say, no. This is something that is constantly passing and perishable, but the imperishable aspect which supports it is Brahman. So, that supporting tattva is Brahman. But then you always understand Brahman with reference to the world. That aspect of ignorance they have to remove. So they remove that aspect of ignorance and then say, Brahman is beyond this. Because this is a very limited portion. You then try to think that I have grasped Brahman with my intellect. Brahman cannot be grasped with intellect. Oh, then you say, acha, acha, samajh gaya. Now I understand what Brahman is. And when you say, now I understand what Brahman is, they say, you understood nothing. Why? Because you are saying, you have understood Brahman, you have captured Brahman with your intellect. Brahman is not that limited to capture it with your intellect and put it in your test tube of logic. Brahman is beyond it. Therefore, they say, Uttama Purusha. Uttama Purusha Swamya. So, before, in Trinity, it is explained. Shara, Akshara, Uttama Purusha. First, you understand that this Shara world is Brahman. Then you understand this name and form is not Brahman. The supporting factor is Brahman. Then you understand that supporting factor is not just limited to this world. In fact, this world depends on its existence on Brahman. Brahman is far beyond. It is inconceivable. It is unknowable. That is the supreme Brahman. I can only dissolve the ego and become that Brahman. So, therefore, the Brahman is formless. But since the formless Brahman cannot be conceived by everyone, a form is conceived. Krishna, Rama, Ganesha, Shiva, etc. And initially, you are told this Saraswati form is Brahman, God. Then as we evolve, they told, no. This Saraswati, this Krishna, everything is form, but the truth that they represent is the God. Right? Truth is beyond your intellectual conception. It is formless. So that's the idea. They take you from where you are. They come down to your level. We are at the level of Kshara. Therefore, they say Kshara is Brahman. Then they say, no. The supporting aspect is Brahman. Akshara. That is also conceived by the intellect, no? You conceive it. The Akshara can be conceived. The fact that you can conceive it with intellect, you say that is also not Brahman. Brahman is beyond intellect. Uttama. This is the gist of chapter 15. That slowly, through inquiry, we have to free ourselves from the trap. There is no other choice. There is a very interesting word in Tamil for senses. The word for senses in Tamil is pori. Pori means trap. Rat trap. There is a rat trap where they keep something, that invites the rat to go and eat it. And once it is fixed inside, the rat smells it at night, goes into to eat it, and when it bites it, the trap closes. Is exactly what is happening. Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. We see the world, the nama rupa, we think it is very exciting, inviting. We go, buy one, get one free. You get excited. And our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. By sight, our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples and grapes. With hopeless wish, one looks and lingers. One breaks the glass and cuts his fingers, but they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a bee. So the majority of the world, what does it do? It gets trapped. The vasanas are pushing from inside. The world, the nama rupa is pulling from outside. In this push and pull, we get and go and get trapped. And then we suffer. So he you stop. Question. With they whom truth and wisdom lead. When in an analyze, the real thing comes out. This is no pitta substance. The real substance is inside Brahman, which is all pervading, which is without and within. So if I have to realize it, I have to go within it. Within me. When I go within, I reach that Brahman. This is the entire knowledge given in this chapter 15. So let us conclude now, and next week we will do the summary of chapter 16, Daiva Asura Sampat Vibhaga Yoga. So let us conclude class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Prakrute Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanaya Samarpayami. Hari Om.